Good evening, ladies. Thank you for coming, and thank you for inviting me to be here. I'm very honored and very blessed to have this opportunity to be here with you. I have prayed diligently that what I have to say will be a blessing to you and be meaningful to you. I would like to begin first by telling you just a little bit about myself. We're going to be, as Denise said, studying about a wardrobe from the King enables us to pray powerfully. This is me and my youngest granddaughter. This is Sadie. And right now I would certainly solicit your prayers for her. She is 5 years old. She has a chromosome deficiency and she has autism. And she's been experiencing what they call absence seizures. And yesterday she had to be taken by ambulance to a hospital in Charlotte. And right now she's having tests done. So I would really appreciate your prayers for little Sadie. Sadie's very special to me. I am a Harding University, then it was college, alumnus. I graduated a very, very, very long time ago. So Harding has changed immensely over the past few decades. I went on to spend 34 years in public education and 4 years in private education, and now I am very happily retired. I am a widow. My husband passed away several years ago from cancer. I'm a mother. I'm a Gramsci. I'm a mother-in-law, and I hope that's a mother-in-love. I have grandcats, and I'm a cardiac survivor. About 7 years ago, I had the misfortune of suffering a heart attack when I lived in Missouri. And so I've come a long way since then, haven't had any problems in a long time. But I will share with you that one day I was a greeter at church and it was raining and I opened the door because I saw somebody coming and they go, "Oh my goodness, you almost gave me a heart attack." And I said, "Oh, that's okay. I've got NyQuil in my purse." And, a gentleman was standing behind me and he didn't move. And so finally I turned around and I said, "Do you need something?" And it just so happened he's one of our members who is a surgeon at the hospital. And he said, "Why do you have NyQuil in your purse?" And I said, "Well, I have a heart condition." And he said, "Well, you're pretty cavalier about that. Don't you think you should have told some of us?" I said, "Well, now you know." Never had a problem at church, but he's ready in case I do need a help. I am a Christian. I was baptized on my 11th birthday, and I'm quite a bit older than that now. I think I've gone to church since conception, and I did go to a Christian college, which was a big, big blessing to me. I'm a strong supporter of Camp Neotes and other Christian camp opportunities for youth. I'd like you to meet some of my family. This is my daughter and son-in-law, Heather and Sasha Petrenko, and their cats. They are my grandcats. I don't like cats, but I have babysat those cats twice while they went out of the country, so I'm learning to like cats now. This is my son and his family. This is Craig. Well, I'm supposed to be able to use them. I'm not going to even try with this. This is Craig, Kara. Kara's the one in the graduation outfit. Their biological daughter, Meredith, and then their three adopted children, Larry, Adam, and Sadie. They're seven. Meredith is going to be 16 very soon, making me feel really old. Larry is 9, Adam is 7, and Sadie is 5. And I got to spend the whole first year of Sadie's life taking care of her. So we have a very special bond. And she's in the hospital right now, but she's saying, "I want to go home. I want to go home." And when I talk to her, she says, "Can I go to your house? Can I sleep in your bed with you? I won't cry." And so I guess she's going to come stay with Gramsci eventually. 6 years ago, I moved from Missouri to North Carolina, mainly because I did have a heart condition. And I didn't want to live in a town where I didn't have any family. That's just a little bit about me. I would like for us to start the evening with a prayer. Would you bow with me, please? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the blessing of having a ladies' opportunity to get together and to study your word and to learn how to wear your wardrobe proudly and to be good servants of yours. Thank you, Lord, so much for the wonderful sacrifice that your son did for us by dying on the cross and being able to save us from our sins. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless those that are sick, and I especially ask a petition for Sadie. Thank you, Lord, for the safe trips that I've had today and for the fellowship that I have so much enjoyed. Please help me to remember the things that I want to convey to these ladies tonight and help their hearts to be open to your word. Thank you for everything. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we are going to start with, she is clothed with strength and dignity and can laugh at the days to come. This is taken from Proverbs 31, verse 25. This is a grandkid still, sorry. One of the things we must do is we must be clothed in the armor of God. And you might say, well, that's not really clothing. Well, to a Roman soldier, it was very, very important. They had to wear protection so that they would not be harmed when they were facing an enemy. Let's see. Hannah, would you read Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20? Thank you. Recently, the ladies at our congregation in North Carolina had the opportunity to study spiritual warfare. And so that's where I've gotten this diagram from. We learned that it's very, very important to pray powerfully for everything. We start with the helmet of salvation. I found a quote, and honestly, I don't know where it came from, so I'm just going to say it's a quote. In Christ, we have been saved. That's justification. We are being saved right now. That's sanctification. And we will be saved. That's glorification. So three important words there. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. We have the opportunity to be Christian women. We have the opportunity to serve the Lord. We have this opportunity to serve others. What exactly is salvation? Well, it's deliverance from sin and its consequences. And I don't think I need to explain what sin is. We are forgiven of our sins and given the promise of eternal life with God. And it keeps us on track to guard against Satan. Just recently, one of the ladies in our church, who was what we would call one of the grand dames, she was an elderly lady, she passed away. And when they took her to the hospital the day before, she said, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I know where I'm going. And the next day she passed away with her husband holding her hand. And he said, we know where she's at. So we do have the deliverance of our sins and keeping us on track. We have to use the breastplate of righteousness. The heart is the most vital organ of our body. Without your heart working properly, your body just doesn't work properly. As I mentioned before, I'm a cardiac survivor. About 8 years ago, I had been in a very bad automobile accident and had been hurt pretty badly. And I couldn't put my foot to the ground for 3 months, so I was in a wheelchair. And my daughter kept saying, Mom, you need to go to the Y and and exercise. It'd be so good for you. So I did, and I got stronger and better. And then I moved out to North Carolina, and I had another cardiac incident, and I had to go through cardiac rehab all over again. But that time I didn't fuss about it. I just said, yeah, how soon can I go? Well, one of the gentlemen at our church has had a heart and liver transplant, and he's part of Mended Hearts, which is a cardiac support group. And he said, I think you should come in and work with me. And I have found this to be a ministry, because when I'm sitting in that waiting room with patients and family members, they're really nervous and they're scared. And sometimes all they need is somebody to talk to them. Now, to be politically correct, according to Mended Hearts guidelines, I'm not supposed to pray with them, but sometimes that's what they need. And so I will say, would you like me to pray with you? Yes, I would. And so we go to a quiet area and we pray. So far, I haven't gotten in trouble for it. But we have to do what is best in the situation. That's what the Lord wants us to do. If your heart is not taken care of properly, physically, you have to eat properly, you have to exercise, you have to sleep properly. But our mind must also be in the right place. We have to protect it and strengthen it all the time. And we do this by studying, by being around other Christians to uplift us. And we are protected and strengthened at all times. The breastplate of righteousness controls our mind, which is our thoughts, our will, which is our ambition, our emotion, which is our feelings, and our conscience, which is our moral compass. And as you well are well aware, in our society, sometimes that's pretty difficult, because Satan is always throwing his darts at us in society. So we have to study. We have to pray. We have to do our job as Christian women, doing the jobs that we are able to do and we are called to do. We have the shield of faith. This is a very important in piece of battle armor, because the shield of faith is what you fended off your armor's enemies with. Well, there's a difference between belief and faith. Belief is knowing that something can happen. And we all know, you know, we could walk out of here tonight and be in a car accident, or many things could happen. But faith is knowing that God will handle things. Yesterday, I was having a bit of trauma, because my granddaughter had been taken to the hospital by ambulance, and I was very, very worried about her, and things were happening with my plane ticket, and I thought, geez, what can go wrong? You know, everything is going wrong today. And my daughter, who lives 1,000 miles away from me, said, Mom, where's your faith? God's going to handle this. It's going to be okay. She said, set your boundaries and have faith that things are going to be, they're all working out. And I have spent a wonderful day with Denise and Twain and their daughter. And so things are truly working out. We must act on our beliefs and have faith that God will help us recognize his decisions. Sometimes we are a little stubborn in that respect. We don't want to accept what God's decisions are. Faith is believing that God is telling us the truth. Some people that are mentioned in the Bible that I would like to share with you that had great faith are Noah. Remember, Noah was quite elderly when God told him to build the ark, and he was to take 120 years to build it. It had never rained there, so people thought he was crazy, but he went ahead, he built the ark. And sure enough, it rained, but he had the faith that he was doing what God had wanted him to do. Think about Jacob. Jacob was one who, he faithfully worked for his father-in-law for 7 years, and he was given Leah, not Rachel, the one he wanted. And so he lived with her for a week. He married Leah. He worked for 7 more years, but he had faith that he was going to get those. And he went on to be the leader of a great nation. How about Moses? Moses was standing by the burning bush when God told him to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground. He had faith that God was going to help him through, because he very humanly said, oh, I'm not a speaker. I can't talk. And God said, okay, I'll get somebody to talk for you. And he got his brother Aaron to talk. Abraham was 100 years old whenever he was told that he would have the son that God had promised him. He had tried to take things in his own hands before that time. One of my favorite Bible characters is Ruth. When her husband had died, her brother-in-law had died, and her father-in-law had died, Naomi told him, go back to your families. And Ruth said, no, I'm not going to do that. She said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now, I realize that was Ruth talking to her mother-in-law, but my husband and I had this at our wedding, because it is a clear faith and devotion to another person. Consider David. David was just a little shepherd boy when he killed Goliath. He went on to be a great warrior. He went on to be king of Israel, and he had faith that God was going to guide him. Now, I'm not saying he was perfect, because he wasn't, but he had faith that God would save him. Think about Sarah. Sarah was 90 years old. She had been barren all these years, and suddenly the Lord said, well, you're going to have a baby. And she laughed, because she didn't believe it. But eventually, you know, she had that child and watched him grow to be an ardent young man. She had faith. We could mention a few others, like Joseph and Joshua. You know, Joshua was one of two that said, oh, we can take the land of Canaan. It's not a problem. And the other 10 said, no, we can't. It's too dangerous. Think about Mary. Denise and I were just talking about Mary today. Mary, the mother, the earthly mother of Jesus. She was just a young woman whenever the Lord said, you're going to have a baby. And she said, how? But he told her it was going to happen, and it did. And Joseph had a hard time accepting some things, but he had faith, and they both became faithful to the end. Well, we assume Joseph did. I will put it that way. But Mary was faithful and constantly strove to do what she needed to do. The next part is the belt of truth. Satan continues to badger us even after Jesus won the battle and the victory for us at the cross. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we're studying the book of Luke, and we're being taught how to journal through the Bible with the HEAR program. You highlight, you explain it. I can't remember what the other two are right now, but as I was reading chapter 3 and chapter 4, I found out that Satan really tempted the Lord very much in many, many ways. Just imagine if he could tempt the Lord, and the Lord, of course, Jesus, he withstood the battle with the devil. How much harder is it for us? We're humans, and it's very easy to become discouraged. But Satan was just defeated at the cross, and the penalty was paid for all the people for all time. The power of sin was broken, though sin continues to bombard us. I would like you to think about some of the things that are happening in our world. Some of the things are things that we thought we'd never see in our lifetime, but they're here, and sometimes they're being accepted when they should not be. So we have to study, we have to pray to make sure that we are prepared to withstand the darts of Satan. The belt of truth keeps us focused and better able to withstand Satan. In Ephesians 6:13, I don't think I have that down for somebody to read, it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 17, tells us to be at peace and be able to reconcile. It says, the blood of Christ, he is our peace. And if you came in, you probably got a little bookmark that says prayer. It tells you that prayer releases all your external resources. And that's just something to remind you that you need to pray all the time because it helps you to become stronger. It takes away your stress and it empowers you to be a worker for the Lord and not for the devil. We are not to be as children in Ephesians 4:14. It says that henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. And there are so many ways that we are faced with deceit right now. And so many things that people say, well, you know, you got to go with the times. No, you don't. You have to stand firm and be faithful. James 1 verses 2 through 4 says that the belt of truth brings us patience. Temptations bring patience, which means you perfect and want, you become perfect and want nothing. There's something I will say about that a little bit later as we're talking. You also need the shoes of peace. In Ephesians 6:15, I think that's Cindy. Could you read that, please? All right. One thing my mother always told us was you need a firm foundation for a great institution. And when you have a powerful faith and understanding of the Lord, you will have peace and you will have a firm foundation. One of the things we learned in spiritual warfare was that a Roman half boot, this is not what it looks like, was more like an open-toed sandal. It featured hobnailed sole with leather straps that tied around the ankle and the shin, enabling the soldier to find firm footing on uneven terrain. Sometimes our path is a bit rocky, and it's very difficult to stand firm. We sometimes falter a bit as we're walking. We must be prepared to stand firm against anxiety. How many of you have ever experienced anxiety? Well, I have. Discord. Anywhere you go, you're going to find some discord. Division. You know, well, I want it this way. No, I want it this way. And the two sometimes have a hard time coming together. Disruption. Many things can cause disruption and disturbances. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And I try to remember that every once in a while, especially when I'm getting really anxious, because I am great at worry. I probably have a master's or a well-advanced degree in worry. I'm told this quite frequently. I don't need to worry because I have the Lord on my side. We must continue to pray powerfully that the Lord will give us the strength that we need. We will not ever have the absence of chaos, anxiety, disappointment, confusion. However, we must remain steadfast, remembering we are capable of walking with confidence, stability, and steadiness with God. I just can't understand sometimes how people who don't have the Lord in their life can get through the days that they have to get through. And we also have the sword of the Spirit. In, let's see, 2 Corinthians 6:7. That's Linda. Thank you. And Connie, you have Hebrews 4:12. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, both for reading for that. A sword is like the word of God because we can use that to defend off the daily darts of Satan. Sometimes if we're around people who speak the wrong type of language, it becomes very easy for us to follow suit. We have to know that that's wrong. We have to pray that we won't be that person, and we have to say, you know, that really wasn't appropriate what you just said. And that doesn't always make you a very popular person, but it makes you one of God's offspring. The Word of God is our spiritual sword and is quick, powerful, sharp, and piercing. Now, sometimes I don't like that spiritual sword stabbing at me because it's painful sometimes when you're told, oh, I'm sorry, you've done something wrong, or you're not doing everything that you can. And sometimes I have to really pray about it. I have a very dear friend who lives in Alabama, and we have been friends for a long time. And I will tell you about when I first met her. She was at church, and we all went to church together. It was a little small church. I was in my 40s at the time, and she's just a few years older than me. And they were talking about the older women of the church, and the minister was teaching the class. Now, he was a little short man. He was very young. And Bonnie says, when I take sin in me here, we're the older women of the church. And I thought, well, speak for yourself. I'm not old. And I was very offended, so I didn't say anything to her. We started home, and my husband said, you want to turn around and go back and talk to Bonnie? And I said, no. If she doesn't know she's offended me, tough. So for 3 weeks, I harbored this feeling of angst toward Bonnie. Well, eventually I realized she was right. I was one of the older women of that church at that time, even just being in my 40s. Well, about 3 weeks after she had said all this, I came to that conclusion. So we were having Bible class, and Bonnie was sitting a row behind me down at the other end. And Travis was our minister. He said, does anybody have a comment to make before we start class? And I said, I do. And he goes, what do you have to say? And I said, well, do you remember 3 weeks ago, Bonnie said that she and I were the older women of the church? And he said, I vividly remember that. And I said, well, I decided she's right. You know, I am one of the older women here, and that's my responsibility. Well, Bonnie got up in the middle of class, came down and hugged me, and she was crying, and she said, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I hurt your feelings. I would never do that. And she really didn't intend to hurt my feelings. She was just making a point that I needed to hear. So that's one of those little darts that, you know, that was uncomfortable, but I managed to pray about it, and my husband prayed with me, and I was able to overcome that. Our spiritual weapons include, let's see if I've got it here. No, I don't. I'll back up to this. Ephesians 6:17, which says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We have to pray for ourselves because a lot of times we just need that extra strength. We need to know that we're doing what is right. Bonnie also told me that when things got really tough, that I should go into my closet, throw my shoes out in the room, and get on my knees and pray. And I thought, she's crazy. I'm not ever doing that. But there have been times in my life when I have faced really serious trials. And I have thrown my shoes out into the room. And I have gotten on my knees. And I have prayed. And I felt so much better afterwards. There was a time when a lady at our congregation in Missouri, her adult son had died in his sleep. And she was just devastated. She just could not get over that. And she came in crying one Sunday, and her husband by that point was pretty fed up with her crying all the time. So I said, well, Molly, would you like to go pray? And she said, I think I need you. So we went to a quiet room, and we got on our knees, and we prayed together. We cried together. And she said, I feel so much better. Somebody is sharing my pain. So we need to pray for others besides ourselves. And we need to pray where people can know that we are setting that example for prayer. We need to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters. Sometimes we know what their trials might be. Sometimes we don't, but that's okay. We can pray for them, and sometimes I have prayed you know, that God would take care of the trials that were in other people's lives. We have a monthly prayer group that meets online, and we pray for each other and for various things. And that's so important. And one lady called and she said, "I just really appreciated that you prayed for me tonight." And I said, "Well, I'm glad it meant something to you." She said, "People just don't pray for me." I said, "Well, I do." And she said, "Well, I will pray for you." That was just so wonderful. And so by praying with someone, sometimes you can just really eradicate a lot of problems for them. In Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, that's about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I know there is a song to that, but I don't know that song. I don't know how to sing it. But it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We did a vacation Bible school about that several years ago, and you'd hear the kids coming down the hallway singing this song, and it's just always left an impression on me because I thought all I did was put up a bulletin board with those words on it, and those kids learned that song from whoever was leading the singing at vacation Bible school. And it meant a lot to them. They still remember those things. In Galatians 5:23, it says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So we have to pray that we will do the Lord's will, walk in the Spirit, and live that way. Let's see. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. I don't know how to pronounce your name. Right. Jesus is given a name above all names. He is, every knee should bow and worship him. We have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I love it when people go forward and want to be baptized. And I have the privilege of watching them make the good confession that Jesus is Lord. It's just very uplifting to me. Just recently, our minister, he's had a tough time lately because his father just recently passed away. He has three children. The girls are twins. And Grant had been baptized, I don't know, a while back. And then Elise was baptized at vacation at camp. But Natalie had held out. Well, when she was around her grandfather and realized her grandfather was not going to live very much longer, it really set her to thinking that if I'm not baptized, I'm not going to go to heaven with my grandfather. So they all went to bed, I guess it was a week ago Thursday, and all of a sudden, there's Natalie at the side of their bed, and she said, "Hey, can you guys get up? I need to be baptized right now." And her dad said, "Can it wait till tomorrow?" And she said, "No, it can't. I got to be baptized right now because I want to go to heaven with my grandparents." And he said, "Well, okay, that's what we'll do." So Adam's sister goes to church with us also, and she and her children were down in Alabama with her dad, who was so ill. But her husband was still in town, and they live on opposite sides of town. So they called Jeff and said, "Hey, can you come to the church building?" He said, "Do you know what time it is? It's after 11:30 at night." And, "Yeah, but Natalie wants to be baptized." He said, "Oh, man, I'll be right there." And so they went, and they baptized Natalie. One of the things Carla, our preacher's wife, always tells us is that a new Christian is on Satan's radar, and he's going to be shooting his darts right into their tender hearts. So I always write a note to especially the young people when they're baptized and say, "You know, I'm here if you have trouble. I don't have all the answers, but I want to help you through the tough times because you're going to face some tough times." And so I sent that to Natalie, and she really appreciated it. We have Jesus. We have Thanksgiving, and that's Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8.
Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart.
You know, all too often we say prayers and offer prayers of, I want. Lord, would you do this for me? I want this. I want that. And we forget to say thank you for the things that we've been given. As soon as the plane landed in Denver today, I said, thank you, Lord, for getting me here safely. Because we ran into some turbulence, and it was a little unsettling when the plane starts to shake back and forth, and you think, oh, my goodness, are we going to get there or not? Well, that was a prayer of thanksgiving. When Denise first mentioned something about having a ladies' day, would anybody like to be a speaker? Some of the ladies go, who would do that? Well, obviously, our congregation had not had a ladies' day in quite some time. So my daughter just happened to be in town that day, and she said, Mom, you've spoken at ladies' days before. Why don't you tell Denise you'd like a try? So I sent her some messages, and she said, okay, come on. And so I thanked God for that opportunity. I am not a public speaker. I was a school teacher, and it was very difficult for me to sometimes talk to a crowd of people. And a minister told me, he said, well, you know, you have to develop a secondary personality if you're going to speak to children and learn to communicate with them and their parents. And I didn't think that was possible, but it is. And I said, well, Roger, how about you praying for me? And he said, oh, I will. I promise you, I will. And I got through that first year of teaching, and I thought, I can do this. And then I went on to teach for 34 years. So we have to gird ourselves with the armor of God, and the armor of God is our wardrobe. I'm sorry that it's not taking as long as you wanted me to speak, but come back tomorrow, and I will probably speak longer. Not that I'm going to bore you. I hope not bore you, but this is important for us to wear this armor of God. Right now, I think it is Donna. Would you come and lead The Battle Belongs to the Lord?